Shalom, Mishpacha. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news portion of our program. The top story for believers is, of course, the spiraling rioting and violence in Israel by the Arabs. It's just awful. I reported last week that it was escalating and still continues to worsen, with four more Israeli killings just today. It was inside a synagogue while Jews were praying. Three of them were Jewish Americans with dual citizenship, and the other was originally from Britain. The two Palestinians responsible were caught and killed, and Netanyahu of Israel has ordered the homes of these killers to be demolished as a deterrent to others. Israel now reports that there have been more Jews killed in the last 2 months than in the last 2 years, with over 100 wounded. I know you want to know, why is this latest increase? Well, it's over the fact that a Knesset Jewish member, who Netanyahu happens to call a right-winger, has been trying to gain permission to be able to pray on the Temple Mount. Now, if they're caught praying and even moving their lips, they are arrested. Of course, the Palestinians are rebelling at even the thought of Jews praying on the Temple Mount. And in fact, Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas has said that Jews actually contaminate the Temple Mount. Now, remember, Israel won this area back in 1967 war, but they allowed Jordan to oversee it to keep peace. Well, it's not working lately, and some Jews feel it's time to take back the sovereignty that is legally theirs. Netanyahu, along with our own John Kerry, did meet last week with Jordan to insist that the king take better reins over the Jordanian-run Islamic Foundation, also called the Waqf, that administers authority on the mount to prevent disturbances. But most don't think the discussions went well, and some say the peace agreement that was made 20 years ago between Israel and Jordan is now questionable. In other news, Russia still has forces on its border with Ukraine, and Romania is gearing up to help the Ukrainians if needed. And in case you didn't know, the United States has troops stationed on the Black Sea in eastern Romania. And they're expecting to add more, possibly some from Afghanistan, since we are said to be leaving there next month. So, I guess we don't bring our troops home, we just transfer them. Anyhow, is Obama expecting a war with Russia over Ukraine? That has been a question long asked. Probably it'll be up to Putin and whoever he answers to. Back here in the United States, the Ebola topic is back in the news with the latest death of Dr. Salaya, who came here 2 weeks ago, but in the last stages of the disease and too late for treatment to be effective. And civil unrest is expected when and if the grand jury decides Officer Wilson will not be indicted for the shooting in Ferguson. The National Guard has been called in to stand by. The real problem is that many outside agitators are expected and will probably show up just to exploit the situation as they did before. And as you have probably heard by now, ISIS beheaded another American as it vows to visit our streets very soon. Well, why shouldn't there be trouble in America when the leaders of our country not only approve and encourage Muslim prayers to a false god in our own Christian National Cathedral, they are also bowing their heads in agreement when a Muslim imam dedicates prayers to Allah on the Republican House floor recently and declared that America recognizes Allah as their God. And these are his words. Talking to Allah, thee do we worship. Yes, he claimed it. And Christian speaker Boehner bowed his head during the whole thing, as they all did. But Google it, watch it for yourself, for it's all over the internet. But I warn you, it will make you sick. And if it doesn't, you need to get saved quickly. But then even the Republicans can be stupid like all the Americans are if you listen to an Obamacare architect, Jonathan Gruber, who is a college professor at MIT, who, and again, this has been on Fox News, admitted at least five times at different speaking engagements about having to deceive us with lies in order for Obamacare to pass. Of course, our famous leader denied even knowing him and that he was never on staff. Excuse me? Well, who paid him all that money? Well, just this morning, I saw a video clip from 2006 showing the then Senator Obama, praising Jonathan Gruber for his expertise. And now he says he doesn't even know him? So how many times does one have to be caught in a lie before he becomes a liar? Oh, and of course, Nancy Pelosi doesn't know him either. Yes, they really do think we are stupid. Unfortunately, they are not entirely wrong, and I'll just leave it at that. Please remember, it really is you that keeps this program on the air, and donations are lower than usual, so if you are being blessed, then bless us with any offering to Shofar Ministries Box 513 Burton, Ohio 44021, or through PayPal on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Now, don't click that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is Ken Littlejohn, your co-host with Bible teacher Sheila Crawford. And as you can re-listen to this broadcast later this week on ShofarMinistries.net, and the phone lines are open if you have a question on either tonight's topic or any question having to do with end times that we are definitely now residing. 888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD. Or you can email during the show, shofarlive@yahoo.com. Last week, again, tonight, we're going to continue a most vital topic, which is extremely important for all believers, especially new Christians, to get a handle on. And be sure to take notes. If you missed last week's program, please go to the archives and then be sure to share with others as we are commanded. But first, let's open tonight's program with a prayer.
Yes, and shalom to you, Kent. Baruch Hashem, Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. For we do bless your holy name. It is the name above all names. Abba, we thank you and give you the utmost praise, especially for sending your only begotten Son, Yeshua, who saved us from our penalty for sin. And we continue to lift up to you those particular prayer requests recently given to me. So many needs and requests, especially. We ask that you will aggressively pull the heartstrings of our loved ones unto salvation. We beseech you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal your precious saints of their sickness and diseases. We come against all cancers and immune disorders that are plaguing those who are called by your name and might be listening right now. And we truly express our gratitude for the answered prayers and the recent blessings. Oh, Lord, may those who truly love you find extra favor in your eyes and with power that only your word can provide to stand firm against the evil one. We claim healings for drugs, alcohol addictions afflicting our loved ones. Lord, increase the wooing of your Holy Spirit on the many backsliders, and also speak to the hearts of those who let the cares and busyness of this life take precedence over personal time spent with you. We grieve over the numerous Christians who are being grossly persecuted around the world. May you keep their sufferings light and free them from their oppressors. And may we also include prayers for the finances of this ministry. Now be with us as we study your word and bless with abundance those who set aside this time of Bible study, continuing their journey in growing in you. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And Sheila, how about a quick summary of last week? And then I know you have even more scriptures to share with us tonight.
I do. yes, I think it would probably be a good idea to summarize what we did last week, especially for those that didn't get to listen last week. So basically, we began last week's program with the main scripture being in John 15:15, and this was of course from Jesus' own words about how there comes a time when we as students or disciples of Christ advance from servanthood to friend.
And of course, and I love how he includes that once a friend, we can always know what he's doing. I interpret that it can mean that we know deeper truths of the word and that students may not see this.
For sure. I definitely agree with that. And we have discussed many of those. Oh, just call them like gold nuggets that we might have missed before, even though we've read it many times. And of course, we're waiting because sometimes we see things we've never seen before because it's the Holy Spirit who reveals it.
Because the Holy Spirit is our real teacher, and he will reveal things. He reveals desires and things like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And probably, I would imagine, he bases much of that due to our time spent with him, because Jesus is the Word. So more Word, more Jesus. And remember that God wants to reward those who diligently seek him more. He wants to. And you know, Hebrews 11:6, Kent, which also says that without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's kind of important, because when you first read that, you could think that, well, that kind of means, oh, I've got to have a positive confession. Or perhaps that Jesus should just bestow this added faith upon us without any effort on our part except maybe asking or prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, prayer does not bring more faith. And that's the truth if you believe what Scripture says. And what does it say? As we all know, faith comes by hearing the word. And when you look up the word hearing, it's actually the word akouo. And it means to understand from study. So that's where we get our faith. Because remember, upon our salvation, we are given a certain measure of faith that we know from Romans 12:3. But then it's our choice whether we want it to grow or not.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a car. If you buy a car, for example, and you might often get a free tank of gas with that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave it in your driveway after that tank is, you know, exhausted and you don't fill it back up again,
you're not useful.
Yeah, the car's of no use to you.
That's
so,
right. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, of course, we're always rewarded with, you know, more information that he gives us in time.
More faith, more growth in mm-hmm. Jesus. We get more information. And that's where we were last week with John 15:15, where, you know, he said, I'm not going to call you servants anymore because now you're my friends.
Right.
And friends get more information.
And I think you even refer to it in your teaching as gold nuggets.
I do. I love that word mm-hmm. because they are gold nuggets of his word. And by the way, there are many of them, and I can't wait to get more. And there's always room for more. Mm-hmm. And that's how he rewards those who diligently seek him. So it doesn't matter how long you're saved. There's always another gold nugget.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
there you land on one.
I think it's sometimes how, you know, of course, you know what? I'm always pushing the word because that's really what the ministry is. And sometimes people say, oh, I've read that a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, what?
Well, sometimes you read it.
Keep staying in it so you'll get gold nuggets because they never stop.
You might actually read that verse two or three times. And
as we said.
And someone may, in fact, have a a little different understanding than you, and they can share, and you can share with them, and vice versa. So
absolutely.
Iron sharpens iron.
That's right. And, of course, the scripture that we like to use a lot is Proverbs 25:2, and I'll paraphrase it by saying, God likes to hide it so we can find it, and that's our reward.
Sort of like being on a treasure hunt. And if you don't go on that you're not going to hunt, you're not going to find any treasure.
That's right. And you have to aggressively look for it, don't you?
Yeah, I would say you've got to get the shovel out.
You just can't tiptoe through the tulips and think you're going to find a treasure.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So one more time, Kent, can you read for our listeners John 15:15 as he is addressing specifically now his disciples only?
And we covered this last week, but I'll read it again. Here we go. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends.
Amen.
And for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Wow. That's huge.
That is good.
Yeah, that is good.
Very good. God is good.
That's right.
All the time.
And of course, he says this after that comment about, no one knows the day or the hour. At that time, he hadn't revealed it. But that's another night. Anyway.
Another gold nugget.
Yeah, another gold nugget. Okay. Also, we did a lot of scripture reading to confirm this race, as Paul calls it, in 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 2 Timothy 4:7 and Hebrews 12:1. And I hope if you're out there taking notes that you're writing these scriptures down. But they all refer to our journey as a race. In other words, don't lollygag around. Move forward quickly. Because, as we know, the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And who can he devour more easily? Those who are not yet sanctified, because as we showed last week, they don't have all their armor on, because it is time spent in his word that puts on the armor of God that Ephesians 6 talks about. And the Greek word is enduo, by the way, and it means to like sink into. And again, it's like putting on Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. And by the way, we have a new scripture this week. I found in Romans 13, if you could read verse 12 and then 14 as well.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light.
That's right. That enduo, that same word, number 1746. So it's the same word to put on the armor as it is with Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the armor. It's just another analogy, a different way of putting it. And also last week we looked at the Laodicean lazy days, last days lazy church, because they're not in their word. They're just lazy, basically. And
would you like for me to read verse 14?
Oh, didn't you yet?
I'd be glad to if you
sorry,
want me to.
Sorry, go ahead. I thought you did. I don't know why.
That verse says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Okay, and the point I was trying to make is that it's the same word for put as for putting on Jesus and putting on the armor.
All right.
Same type of thing.
Makes sense.
Okay. But anyway, we also talked about the church as a whole now, and I know that's not anybody listening to this radio program, but as a whole, neglecting the race and, again, choosing to stay lukewarm and thereby remaining vulnerable to Satan's arrows, which he shoots at our minds. And we talked about the convention Satan had, remember, last week with his demons, where he essentially told them just to keep the church too busy, even doing good things, but no time for the word. Because it's the only way a Christian can grow and gain power over the evil one. And because of laziness, we even have our government Republican leaders inviting Allah into their prayer meetings. They don't have all their armor on. They don't have the mind of Christ. Satan is being worshipped and gloating over it all.
And we also look at Philippians 3:14, where Paul says, to push towards the prize, which is the higher calling of God.
Yes. And then we read more scriptures on the process of sanctification. like 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and that it's the word that sanctifies, said by Jesus himself. He said the word sanctifies in John 17:17, which is why Jesus washed their feet, the disciples' feet, as a symbol of washing in the water of the word. Ephesians 5:26 says that. And we're going to elaborate on that in a few minutes. But basically, listeners out there, can we so far agree that there is a moving forward process from us being justified as if we've never sinned when we first get saved to actually being called his friend, which is the higher calling of God? Oh, saints, that's the prize of knowing him better, so we can receive deeper truths. And I might add, much more discernment between good and evil. So the bottom line is, as born-again believers, we must move forward, or like sitting water becomes stagnant, your spiritual life not only becomes stagnant, it becomes the perfect environment for bacteria. And what should be just a simple, in the name of Jesus, be gone, becomes a battle.
And especially more of a battle to get into the word.
Yes, it does. It becomes more of a battle. Because still dealing, again, with too much flesh, because it's the last part to be sanctified. So the flesh says, oh, just lay down on the couch and let's watch some mindless TV. And your spirit's saying, no, get into the word. And there's that fighting going on all the time. So it's spirit, then the soul, and then the flesh or the body. And that is the progression. And again, God is a God of order, just as in his armor, each piece, all his armor on. That's when you're totally sanctified.
So that's what it means to crucify the flesh.
Yes, get totally sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we do that, we will just continue losing spiritual battles because their armor, which is Jesus, is not totally covering us. And again, until we get that helmet on, that's the mind of Christ. He can keep shooting those arrows and gives us temptations into our mind.
And so a victorious life is to be victorious over our temptations.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I got to interject a thought.
Okay,
here.
Sure.
You know, a while back, I went to our pastoral office, not where I'm at now, but down the street a bit. And, I went to the pastor and I said, I'm not getting any victory in this certain area. And, you know, handed me a book. And, that book would have been beneficial probably if I had read it. But I thought to myself, what did they do 200 years ago without all of these publications, you know? And I sought out a deliverance ministry. You know, and five people prayed over me. And then I had the desire after that event to really get into the word. But before that, it was such a struggle.
Hmm.
You know, it was a constant battle to get into the word. After that, it wasn't such an actual battle,
mm-hmm.
You know. But the deliverance came, and then the desire to be in the word also. So God has a certain, he doesn't have a certain pattern is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? It definitely is the word, but I know that for me anyway, in that life experience I had, that it didn't seem to, it wasn't cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's true, and that's why even when he heals in the New Testament, it's not always the same way. You know, sometimes they have to go wash in the water seven times. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that.
That's right.
It's always different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, that victory over your temptations comes along with this, what Galatians 5, and there's other scriptures.